The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 19, Text Number 31, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 22, 2008, in Suva, Fiji.
So today, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 19, Text Number 31. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Maitreya uvacho evam hiranyaksham asahya vikramam sasada yadvahare adi sukarah jagamalokam svam marikandikotsavam Samirita Pushkara Vishtaradibi. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the savior of the whole universe, Jagad Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Maitreya continued, after thus killing the most formidable demon, Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hiri, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode where there is always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma. Purport. The Lord is spoken of herewith as the origin of the boar species. As stated in the Vedanta Sutra 112, the Absolute Truth is the origin of everything. Therefore, it is to be understood that all 8,400,000 species of bodily forms originate from the Lord, who is always Adi, or the beginning. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses the Lord as Ajam, or the original. Similarly, in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord is addressed as Adipurusham, the original person. Indeed, in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord Himself declares, Matak Saravang Pravartate, from me everything proceeds. In this situation, the Lord assumed the form of a boar to kill the demon Hiranyaksha and pick up the earth from the Garbha ocean. And thus he became Adi Sukara, the original boar. In the material world, a boar or a pig is considered most abominable, but the Adi Sukara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was not treated like an ordinary boar. Even Lord Brahma and the other demigods praise the Lord's form as a boar. This verse confirms the statement in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears as He is from His transcendental abode for the sake of killing the miscreants and serving the devotees. By killing the demon, Hiranyaksha, He fulfilled His promise to kill the demons and always protect the devote, the demigods headed by Brahma. And the statement that the Lord returned to His own abode indicates that He has His own particular transcendental residence. Since He is full of all energies, He is all-pervasive in spite of His residing in Goloka Vrindavan. Just as the sun, although situated in a particular place within the universe, is present by its sunshine throughout the universe. Although the Lord has His particular abode in which to reside, He is all-pervasive. The impersonalists accept one aspect of the Lord's features, the all-pervasive aspect, but they cannot understand his localized situation in his transcendental abode, where he always engages in full transcendental pastimes. Especially mentioned in this verse is the word akanditotsavam. Utsava means pleasure. Whenever some function takes place to express happiness, it is called utsava. Utsava, the expression of complete happiness, is always present in the Vaikuntha lokas, the abode of the Lord, who is worshipable even by demigods like Brahma, to say nothing of other less important entities such as human beings. The Lord descends from his abode to this world, and therefore he is called avatar, which means one who descends. Sometimes avatar is understood to refer to an incarnation who assumes a material form of flesh and bone. But actually avatar refers to one who descends from the higher regions. The Lord's abode is situated far above this material sky, and he descends from that higher position. Thus, he is called avatar. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghuna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. This is in keeping with what we were discussing last night in Bhagavad Gita. Vasudev, we have a chair for you right here, just waiting. Please come. We were studying last night, Hare Krishna Mataji, Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna says that as pearls are strung upon a thread, everything rests upon me. So here we see there are two understandings of Krishna. There's the impersonal understanding and the personal understanding. Krishna localized in his transcendental abode. See, that's personal understanding. Krishna expanded everywhere by these energies, that is impersonal understanding. So, as Vaishnavas, as knowers of the Vedic conclusion, we understand Krishna is both all-pervasive and he is localized simultaneously. It's not difficult to understand. The sun is like that. The sun is in one place. Within outer space, the sun planet is there. At the same time, by the form of its energy, it's spread throughout the whole universe. So if the sun can do it, why can't God do it? You understand? It's simple logic. These impersonalists, they want to make the Supreme Lord something less than the sun. It is not very intelligent, this impersonal philosophy. It's very common in Hindu culture, Hindu society, this impersonal understanding of God. It's very common misconception. They take the all-pervasive concept, but they cannot understand the localized concept. But if we carefully study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then it becomes very, very clear that God is not only everywhere, but He's also in one place. The impersonalists cannot understand. They think how you can be in one place and at the same time be everywhere. Because they can't do that, you see. They think, well, if I can't do it, God can't do it. They want to bring God down to their level. It's like today here I am in Suva. I'm only in Suva, nowhere else. I'm just here in Suva. I can't be anywhere else. I'm Jiva self. I can be in Suva and that's it. But God, He can be in Suva and He's here standing on the altar. Krishna is here, personally present. He is here at the same time He's everywhere. He's within every atom. He's between every atom. He's all-pervading. So we have to understand that God is simultaneously everywhere and in one place at the same time. They tell that if you say He's in one place, you're limiting Him. But no, we don't limit. We say, yes, He is in one place, and at the same time, He is everywhere. They can't conceive how that is possible, but even if the sun can do it, why God can't do it? See, it's not that difficult. Even a child can understand the sun is in one place, and at the same time throughout the universe. A child can even understand. You see, we have small children who are listening here today. This is very good. They're listening. They can understand the sun is in, you can understand the sun is in one place and at the same time spread everywhere by its sunshine, can't you? You can understand that, right? Yes, this boy understands. If even a young boy can understand the sun is in one place and at the same time everywhere, then what's the problem with these impersonalists? They're not even as intelligent as a small boy, you see. To understand the simple truth that God can be in one place and at the same time be everywhere, all pervasive. This is one nice point that Prabhupada brings out in this purport. Another wonderful is this akanditsavam, you see. Akandita means uninterrupted. An utsavam festival, akanditotsavam means an uninterrupted festival. So, do we have to go back to Godhead to join that uninterrupted festival? That's the question. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, that akanditotsavam, it has come here to this planet. Lord Chaitanya has brought Kevala Ananda Kanda. He has brought that uninterrupted festival of bliss to this plane, to this earthly planet. So that by joining in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Prabhupada has so perfectly delivered to us, you see. If we will enter into this mood, the Sankirtan mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we will also experience an uninterrupted festival. Just like today, there's a big festival. You see, we've decorated His Holiness Srila Tamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj Gurudev Appearance Day celebration. Very nice big festival, you see. So everybody will be very happy, singing and dancing, prasad, nice remembrances, everything very, very sweet, you see. But actually, every minute is like that in Krishna consciousness. For one who is properly situated in Krishna consciousness, every minute is a festival. Even on Monday morning, a grihastha who is properly fixed in bhakti, even on Monday morning when he has to go to that office again, you see, or he has to get in his taxi cab and again go out for another customer, even then, you see, the festival is uninterrupted. It's simply a matter of being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Yat karoshi yadasnasi yaj jahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kadushva madarpanam. One who has become practiced in the science of bhakti, he is tasting so much bliss from Krishna consciousness, he loses all interest in mundane things. Nothing mundane can attract him. You give him a free ticket to the movie? No, thank you. I'd rather read the Bhagavatam, you see. You give him a free ticket for a cruise in one of these, floating gambling casinos. Here's a free ticket for two, for a round-the-world cruise. Will he want to go? No. Because there's no kirtan on the cruise ship. There's just gambling, meat-eating, illicit sex, you see. One who has actually gotten a taste for Krishna consciousness, he's experiencing an uninterrupted festival of transcendental bliss. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, he feels unlimited happiness. And if there's somebody else in the town who also chants Hare Krishna, and the two of them get together and they have kirtan, it becomes unlimitedly more ecstatic. And if there's three of them, oh my goodness, if there's three people in the same town who chant Hare Krishna, then it's indescribable how much nectar. What to speak of 4, 5, 6, 7, how many people live in Suva who all chant Hare Krishna, you see. You can't even begin to describe the nectar that can be tasted when all the Hare Krishna people come together to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So even if there's just one person all by himself, you know, stuck out on some remote South Pacific island, you see, even just one person, he can get so much bliss from chanting Hare Krishna and reading Prabhupada's books that he can completely eschew or give up all forms of mundane sense gratification and not even regret it. And feel, well, thank God, Prabhupada has saved me from this intoxication to material sense gratification. See, all around us we see people, the Fijian people, the Indian people, all around us they're engaging in sense gratification, going crazy, Indriya Seva. Crazy, eating this, eating that, singing this, singing that, watching this, watching that. It's all bogus sense gratification, you see. So if how will one not be attracted to that when everybody else is attracted to it? See, that's the difficulty. Man, after all, is a social animal. We like to grow with a group. That is our tendency. So there's a natural pull when we see everybody else is going to the cinema, everybody else is watching television, everyone else is eating this thing, that thing, smoking this, drinking that. There's a tendency that we want to join them because man's nature is to be part of a society. That's why the community of devotees is most essential. Because here, to be a part of to be a full-on participating member means you give up illicit sex life. You give up meat-eating. You give up intoxication. You give up gambling. All forms of mundane entertainment, which is simply disturb the mind, you see. All of these things are automatically given up. Not artificially, but because, as Krishna says, Vishayavini Vartante Niraharasya Dehina Rashavarsang Visopyasya Parang Vishvanavartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But experiencing a higher taste, by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes what? Fixed in consciousness, you see. Once you get the higher taste, then no allurement of the material nature will tempt you. What is the example? There are unlimited millions of examples of the pure devotees who were not allured by even the most tempting offers from Srimati Maya Devi. What comes to mind immediately is Haridas Thakura, you see. All he had was a simple hut and a tulsi tree. That's all he had materially. But he had the holy names, and he was fully absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And the Muslims, they couldn't stand it. The Muslims were rulers at that time. They were ruling the government, you see. They couldn't tolerate it. Here is one of our own men. He's become a Hare Krishna, And all everyone's worshiping him as a sadhu. They couldn't stand him. They said, we have to bring him down. We have to do some trick to bring him down and spoil his reputation. They were so envious. So they hired one prostitute, a beautiful young girl, you see, to lure Haridas Thakur. But he didn't budge an inch. She came to him in the dead of night. She disrobed herself, was pleading for sexual enjoyment with him. And with a very cool head, he said, yes, my dear, I will satisfy you, but you simply wait patiently. I have to finish my rounds first. In this way, he tricked the girl. The first day, first night was over. He didn't satisfy her desire. He said, well, I'm sorry, you know, I still have some more rounds to do. You come back tomorrow night, I promise you tomorrow night I will satisfy you. And the second night also he chanted the whole night. And at the end he said, well, I'm really sorry, I couldn't satisfy you tonight, but I still have some more rounds to go to finish my quota. But just come tonight, I absolutely guarantee you, you come again tonight, I will satisfy your desires for sex. But by 3 days of her hearing, from the lotus lips of Haridas Thakur, the holy names being vibrated, she became transformed. Just by hearing the holy name Shuddha Nam coming from the lips of Namacharya Haridas Thakur, she became completely transformed. She became completely remorseful. And she bowed down at his feet, weeping, begging for forgiveness. That I have come here to pollute you. You are the greatest saint, and I have come here to pollute you. Please forgive me. So the girl became his disciple, actually. And she took up the same vow of 300,000 names every day that he was doing. Did he think, well, now I got a beautiful young wife, I'll become grihastha? No. He gave her the hut, and he left. He let her have the hut. You can stay here and keep doing this chanting with the Tulsi in the hut, and I will go traveling. So he left that place. But she became the disciple of Haridas Thakur, you see. So one who has actually gotten a taste for the holy name, you can offer him any enjoyment of this material world, you see. You can offer him anything enjoyable of this world, and he says, no, thank you. I don't want to come down to a lower level of consciousness, you see. If you invite me to go see the latest hit movie, you see, I won't be interested to go because I'm getting more nectar. See, I'm living in a movie at every minute. This is a movie for me. I'm seeing the movie happening all around me 24 hours a day. A much more exciting movie is happening all around me at every minute. Wherever I go, I'm living in the most exciting movie that was ever filmed in the history of the world. It's called Prabhupada's Sankirtan Movement. You see? It's the greatest hit. Prabhupada's Sankirtan Revolution, you see. I'm living in that movie at every minute. And I'm seeing so many stars. You see, like here's one star. Vasudeva Prabhu is one star. He's one of the stars of the show, you see. Stars of the movie. And Jai Ram Prabhu, you see. So many stars. So many big stars here. Famous actors. In this greatest of all movies, you see. And I get to associate with all these great movie stars, you see. They're all around me. The devotees of the Sankirtan movement, they're all the greatest movie stars in the history of the world, you see. I'm living and associating them at every minute. So in this way, you see, this is called higher taste. There's no need for these things. We are getting so much juice, so much nectar from this Hare Krishna mantra. This Hare Krishna, the word Krishna, you see, it contains more nectar than the whole universe can contain. Just one pure utterance of Krishna. Now, we all know this very nice sweet called gulab jamun, you see. Especially when it is very nicely soaked, there's that one type. Of course, there's the dry gulab jamun. You know, there's the kind that stay in the water, the kind that Prabhupada introduced. When you put that in your mouth, it just explodes with juice, isn't it? Those are the best, the juicy gulab jamuns. They are the best style gulab jamun. So, This Krishna, one pure utterance of Krishna, it is the ultimate gulab jamun, you see. And it contains so much nectar, so much juice, gulab jamun juice, is in that one pure utterance of Krishna, that the whole universe cannot contain that nectar. And just like the gulab jamun, it can explode and all this juice comes out of it, you see. This one pure utterance of Krishna contains more, so much juice that if it's chanted purely, it will penetrate through the covering of the universe. That's how powerful is one pure utterance of Krishna. If you say Krishna even one time purely, that utterance can break through the coverings of the universe and take you directly into Goloka Vrindavan. That is the power of Krishna's name, you see. So, whatever pleasures we may have in this world, they are automatically included within Krishna, the name of Krishna. And they're exceeded by millions, billions, quadrillions, quintillions, sextillions, octillions. I don't even know what goes beyond that. Zillions, yes. Zillions and zillions of times more pleasure is there in the name of Krishna than anything you could ever get here, even on the planet of Brahma. Can you imagine the entertainment that goes on in Brahma's planet? The quality of music, the quality of drama, the quality of food, the quality of the beauty of the inhabitants. This place is a slum compared to Brahmaloka. But even there, what does Krishna say? Abrahma vivana loka punaravarti narjana mam upechilakonteya punar janma navidyate. From the highest planet in this material world all the way down to the lowest planet, all are places of what? Misery. Why? Because on those planets repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to Mayava, Purna Janma Navidyate. He never takes birth again. You see. So if one actually gets the taste for Krishna Bhakti, then no taste of this material world will ever attract you again. But what do you do if you don't have taste? Say, well, I want to have taste, but, you know, I'm just too attracted to the material nature. What can I do? What's the hope for such a person? I think we're all in that category to some extent. What's the hope for us? We know we should have this taste, but yet we don't fully have it. So what's our hope? Is there any hope for us that we'll ever get this taste? Yes. Bhagavatam gives us the formula how to quickly and easily get that taste. Shushu shro shradadanasya vasudeva kataruchi sanmahat sevaya virpas punya seva nikirtanam. Very simple formula. By serving those souls who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains what? An affinity or taste for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So all you have to do is find devotees who are pure, who are not executing their service with any material motive, who simply are purely serving their spiritual master in Krishna with no thought of anything in return. If we can find devotees of that caliber, and there are many of them in this movement, because I travel all over the world, there are many such devotees. So I see devotees here who like that too, in Fiji. So all you have to do is find those devotees here in Fiji who are serving without any material motive, whose only desire is to please Guru and Krishna, who are not thinking, what can I get out of it? They just want to give, you see. We have to find those devotees who simply want to give to Guru and Krishna. And those devotees we should serve. Because by serving those devotees, then we will get a taste for Krishna Katha, Vasudeva Katha, you see. And once you get a taste for Krishna Katha, then that's the end of material nature. The material nature will no longer be able to touch you. Because now it's not artificially restraining yourself. Well, I really want to do that, but I can't. No. I really don't want to do that anymore. I really don't want to do it anymore. I gave the example last night in our class that when I was a young brahmachari, one householder couple told me, You see, in Krishna consciousness, in married life, we have a less license for sex, but once in a month only, when we're trying to have a child, after chanting 50 rounds to purify our consciousness. So, one householder couple told me, they said, you know, last night we chanted 50 rounds, we were going to have try to have a child, but we were so high on the mantra, we said, forget it, let's wait another month. We don't want to come down to the level of the body. We're getting so much nectar from Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Who wants to come down and have sex pleasure, you see? So even the most enjoyable pleasure of this world, sexual enjoyment, you see, can easily becomes disgusting or an impediment for one's transcendental bliss. You can imagine how great is this transcendental bliss, Krishna consciousness. So let us seek out those devotees here in Fiji and wherever we go in the world, in the ISKCON world, there's so many souls who are serving with pure love for Guru and Krishna. We should learn how to see who those devotees are by studying their symptoms, studying their characteristics. And those devotees we should serve with great enthusiasm, because by serving them, then we'll become completely intoxicated with Krishna consciousness. It's a very simple formula. So we have a few minutes left. I've been given my cutoff time, and I'm a servant of my those who supervise me here. I'm under their direction. So I've been, Jai Ram Prabhu is my supervisor here. And he's told me 8:15 is the cutoff. So by serving him, you see, I get a taste for Krishna consciousness. So he's given me 8:15 as my cutoff, and as a loyal servant, I got 15 minutes available for questions. You don't have to be shy, you know. The only stupid question is the one that was not asked. Any question you may have, you're welcome to ask it. I won't consider any question to be stupid. Everyone's free to ask whatever questions they may have. Yes, I remember.
This chapter we are reading is about Jain Hindu. This chapter we are reading is about Jain Vijay.
Yes.
And we know that they are devotees.
Yes.
And they have come down, in fact, really to save the Lord.
Yes.
But nowhere in the scripture we see them being worshipped. Though we know they have come here to save the Lord, they are devotees. But nobody worships them.
Actually, they are being worshipped by Narottam Das Thakur. When they entered into Chaitanya Leela, we sing their names now. And that bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur, every day we sing their names. And we sing that Hari Hari Bipale song. Their songs have vibrated, Jagai Madai. So we actually, the English translation is, Lord Krishna come. I sang that on Pacific Beach, actually. It's a song by Narottam. The Prabhupada translated it into English. Lord Krishna comes as Sachi's son. Balaram descends as Nitai. By chanting the wretched have all been saved, including Jagai and Madai. So we sing their songs. We sing their names. They're there in the transcendental poetry of Narottam Das Thakur. So they are actually being worshipped in that way. How all these great demons, they have become great devotees. So we sing their names, actually. Those names, Jagai Madai, have become holy names now, you see. Because they became the great devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's hope for all of us Jagai Madais, you see. That is our level. We are all the Jagai Madai type characters. So there's hope for us. If Jagai Madai, the wretched Jagai Madai can be saved, then there is some hope for us, you see. We can also become saved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Yeah. Thank you very much for asking that question. I appreciate that. Any other questions? Yeah? Speak up.
This is not a question, but I was just going to mention about Hiranyakashipu also. We sing Hiranyakashipu every day.
Yes. That's true. Every morning we sing Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bringam. That's a fact. Their names are part of our daily worship. That's a fact. Yeah. So everyone fully understands the science of bhakti. Everyone's free of all doubt, feeling free of all impediments. Ready, willing, and able right now to do pure bhakti from this moment forward with no impediments. Everyone's feeling like that? Yes or no? Yes or no? If no, then what is the difficulty? Bring your question. What is preventing you from doing pure bhakti right now? Completely surrendering everything to Krishna and Guru. What is the impediment? That is my question of you. No one said yes. When I ask, that means you're all feeling you can't fully surrender to Krishna. But what's the impediment? That's my question of you. What's the impediment? Can someone answer? No answer. Six impediments, yes. Manaji has answered correctly. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Mada, Moha, and Matsarya. These are the six impediments. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. These are the six enemies that are sitting in our hearts that are impeding us taking up pure bhakti. That's the fact. That's the reality. So how do we get free from these impediments? That's the most important thing to understand. The process of sadhana bhakti given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is the formula how to become free from these six impediments. Whatever instructions Srila Prabhupada has given, we should follow those instructions. That's a fact. Therefore, we have to know what the instructions are. Therefore, we have to read Prabhupada's books regularly. And we have to obey the instructions that He has given in these books as far as we possibly can. That's essential. If we neglect this, we'll never be able to overcome these impediments. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. We'll never be able to overcome it and be forced to take birth again. We won't go back to Godhead. We have to make an assault against these enemies. Just like in a warfare, you have to attack. If the enemy is conscious of the territory, you have to launch an all-out attack, like in World War II. Hitler had taken over mainland Europe. So the Allies launched a huge offensive from the UK. They launched a huge offensive on Normandy Beach to retake Europe away from Hitler, you see. So now the Hitler of lust, anger, greed, mad illusion, envy has taken over our hearts. So we have to launch an all-out assault against the material nature. Prabhupada says like this, that when becoming Krishna conscious means to declare war against the illusory energy. So we have to make an all-out assault against the illusory energy. And what are the weapons? The Hare Krishna mantra is there, prasadam, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, the deity worship, traveling to holy places like Vrindavan. These things are weapons. The more we utilize these weapons to conquer over the influence of the material nature, the more we will become victorious in this battle, and eventually we can completely defeat the material energy to where we can actually be purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. And that's the goal, you see. 24 hours a day. The whole thing is training for the time of death. Whatever your consciousness is most attracted through throughout your life, that's what you'll remember at the time of death. What spontaneously comes to your mind during the day? Is it Krishna? Or is it something material? You can analyze your own heart. Every one of you, every one of us, we can analyze our own hearts. What do I spontaneously think of during the day? What does my mind just spontaneously go to? Krishna or sense gratification? If it's going to sense gratification, then we're in trouble. We're in difficulty, spiritual difficulty. That means we have to amp up, we have to increase our sadhana so that the mind becomes spontaneously attracted to Krishna. Otherwise, in the moment of death, we're going to be in a very embarrassing position. You see, very embarrassing position. I tried to be a devotee, but I was still too attracted by the material nature. So we have to be very honest about our own, to ourselves, about our own position. And analyze, is my mind spontaneously attracted to Krishna or is it attracted to something else? If it's attracted to something else, then we have to understand this is an indication that I have to become more and more and more Krishna conscious. So anyway, there's no questions. So there's no questions. All right. You've heard very nicely. I appreciate that very much. The children have also, I've seen, they're hearing nicely. I appreciate that very much. Especially the children, you see, because they're the next generation. When we're dead and gone, these children will be running this temple. So I'm very happy when I see children like this. There was a boy here, this boy here, he's hearing nicely. I'm very appreciative when I see the children listening. You see, it's very good. Because they are the future of our movement. If they become fixed in this hearing, you see, this, it all begins with hearing. Shavanam, that is the very first item. You see, the very first item. Pariksit Maharaj is our great acharya of hearing. And Prabhupada also, he emphasizes the importance of hearing. He said, because I heard nicely, now I can preach nicely. You know the pastime of Prabhupada? When he went to the Vrindavan Parikrama, you know that pastime, Vasudeva Prabhu? Yes? Prabhupada had gone. At that time he was a young pharmacist, pharmaceutical businessman, living in Allahabad, Abhay Charan Day. So this Abhay Charan, he had been attracted many years prior to this by meeting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He was always meditating on him within his heart. And now he took opportunity that Guru Maharaj is doing Vrindavan Parikrama. Let me go there and hear this, and hear from Guru Maharaj, you see. So he went there, and you know in Vrindavan, evening time, what is the favorite thing? Here in these cities, Karmi cities, they go to nightclub, cinema, this way. They waste their time foolishly in the evenings, television, so many things. But in Vrindavan, still, a very strong culture. They go for darshan in the evening. Evening time means you go to the temple for darshan. That is evening entertainment, you see. Go to temple for darshan. So it was evening time in Vrindavan. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was giving discourse. Now, if you've studied his writings, you know he speaks in very big, big, big English. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who's forever inviting. In this way, he speaks in very big, big words. You have to get a big unabridged dictionary just to follow what he's talking about. And these disciples, they were all simple villagers mostly. They hardly could speak English to begin with. And here he is talking in these humongous English words. They couldn't follow what he was talking about. So in the evening, where did they go? They went for darshan. They wouldn't stay for the prabhacham. So, there was only a small handful who would stay and listen. And you know, one of those was Abhay Charan Day. He said, I would understand or I would not understand, but still I would go on listening. And then just like in ISKCON now, when someone to get initiated, they are recommended by the authority, temple authority. Even when Prabhupada was here, it was the same exact system. Prabhupada would not directly initiate anyone. It had to be recommended by the temple authority. That was Prabhupada's system when he was on the planet. So, there was recommendation given by the devotees in Allahabad. They said, Guru Maharaj, there's one Bhai Charanday, we'd like to recommend him for initiation. And so, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said, yes, I will be very happy to accept him because he hears very nicely. He noted that everyone else is going with this Abhay Chala and he is sitting there and he's listening, you see. So if you want to know, you want the secret of how you can become victorious in your battle with these six enemies, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, the secret is become very, very dedicated to hear whenever Bhagavad Gita is being spoken by Prabhupada, according to Prabhupada. When Bhagavatam is being spoken, according to Srila Prabhupada, become very eager to sit and hear that discourse as much as possible. And if you can't get to the discourse, then you study at home. You read to your wife or you read to your husband. Read to your kids. Discuss this philosophy. There's nothing sweeter than Prabhupada's books. It's the ultimate entertainment. Adikandotsava, an uninterrupted festival. Hearing, chanting, and remembering Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So in this way, you can become victorious over these enemies. So I'm very happy that you all have come here today. I'm just passing through Fiji very briefly. Tomorrow we're heading out. But I'm very, very happy that you are participating. I see many faces that I've known here for many, many years. Parasaram Prabhu is here. I'm so happy to see many, many faces that are familiar. I'm happy that you're here year after year, dedicating your life to Prabhupada's mission here in Fiji. Prabhupada actually, Rameshwar Maharaj one time said that he thought that Fiji could become the first Krishna conscious country in the world. And Srila Prabhupada said, may Rameshwar Maharaj's words come true. Prabhupada gave blessing in that way that Fiji could become the first Krishna conscious country in the world. So you have a very big duty and responsibility here in the Fiji Islands. Since Prabhupada said, may these words of Rameshwar Maharaj, that this become the first Krishna conscious country in the world, become true. So now it's your duty to make it happen. It's your duty to make those words come true. You see, as Prabhupada's loyal followers, it's your duty to make Fiji the first Krishna conscious nation in the world. So you have to think, how can we become the pure devotees? Because pure bhakti will attract everyone. Cultivate pure devotion in your household life, in your activities here at the temple. Always do everything in a spirit of pure bhakti. And whatever opportunity you have for preaching, you engage in that activity. And if this is done very religiously, by all the members of our society in the Fiji Islands, this will in fact become the first Krishna conscious country in the world. So anyway, I thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.